This week's mailbag comes to us from Shay via Facebook. I just have to give kudos once again to the Warrior Mama binder. I have been working with the school on trying to get transportation from my son's school to his daycare. It's a rehabilitation daycare for babies through adults and where he receives 3 hours of therapy a week. Since the county only has half-day kindergarten, I was trying to get them to transport him to a place to help meet his needs, since they can't. I have been trying to get it added to his IEP. The issue is the school won't transport out of county. I had my meeting today, walked in with my Warrior Mama binder, and walked out with full-day kindergarten, which means he gets more education time, more therapy time, and I will still get him transported by hiring someone to get him to Redwood on therapy days. Thank you, Warrior Mama. There is no doubt that is why I was able to get more than what I was expecting. If you have a child with special needs, this is the binder you need. Everything in its place and all paperwork on hand needed immediately. Do you have an Organized 365 success story? We would love to hear about it. Please send us an email at lisa@organized365.com and tell us how you have taken back your home, your paper, and your life with Organized 365.
Welcome to the Organized 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. Last week, we talked about Maslow's hierarchy of needs and basically how organization is level 3, maybe level 4 on that pyramid, and that if you haven't accomplished what's at level 1 and 2, you aren't going to get to the organization step. So there is a ladder effect of taking care of your physical needs, taking care of your safety needs, and then working on getting organized. So now we know that we need to have some basic foundations in place before we can move on to getting organized. Once you're ready to get organized, now I want to deep dive into how you learn. So as a teacher, of course, this fascinates me. And today we're going to be talking about Edgar Dale's cone of experience. So Edgar Dale was in the 1940s, and he anticipated the findings of neuroscience decades before they were able to use functional magnetic imaging techniques that made brain science possible. Basically, he was really smart. What he did was he analyzed people and he realized that based on how you get information, there is a certain correlation to how much you will retain. So right now I'm talking to you on a podcast, and of what you hear, 20% of what you hear, you will remember. Now, I, over time, have learned I am an auditory learner, so I literally can listen to things and I will remember them more than if I watch them. If you're an auditory learner, one, you love podcasts and audible books, but also, like when Greg and I are watching TV at night, I don't actually look at the TV. I'm doing a jigsaw puzzle or I'm scrolling on my phone while I'm listening to the TV show. And you might think that I'm not paying attention, but usually if it's a mystery, I know the answer before Greg does because my auditory skills are so good. Another thing was in college, when I would take classes, I liked to do counted cross stitch. And so I would, I know, such a nerd, 19-year-old in the back of a college classroom, cross stitching in the back row. And I felt guilty about doing that. And I had been cross-stitching and people are looking at me like, you are not paying attention, you are not paying attention. So I stopped cross-stitching and I started taking notes and my scores on my tests went down. Because if I'm just auditorily listening, I pick up on so much more than if I'm watching you, which is probably why I've been resistant to really doing much on YouTube. But my team is getting me over that fear. So coming in January, there will be a lot more YouTube videos. But I personally don't learn better by videos. I learn better by just having things auditorily fed directly into my ear. That is the best way that I learn. So even though I'm going to go through this cone of experience, your personal learning may be a little bit different. This is just general experience. The other reason why I love doing a podcast Even though I know that you'll only retain 20% of what I say for the majority of you, is because there's no distraction. Like, if I'm wearing a weird color sweater, or my makeup isn't good, or my hair doesn't look right, you're not distracted by my hair, you're listening to the words. Now, if the words aren't good, well, that's on me. But if you're listening to the words, then I feel like you will remember more than what I was wearing when I was recording that video. The other reason that I like podcasts, especially for learning organizational things like this, is because as I am talking, you are thinking about your family, your children, your schedule, and you're visualizing that. If I'm holding up pictures of my family or what my schedule looks like, you're trying to figure out how to adapt that schedule to your schedule versus just thinking schedules and better in general. So that's why I love a podcast as the main form that Organize 365 gets its message out. I feel it is the cleanest way to get the message out without anything being distracting. I also know sometimes people will say, she tells so many stories. Yes, I tell a lot of stories, and there's a reason for that. You may or may not remember this is Edgar Dale's cone of experience, but you will remember my talking about my hair being different, or because you've watched videos before, right? Where their hair is off or their makeup's off, or why did they wear that sweater? And you thought about that the entire time and you totally missed what they were talking about. The fact that I've shared that story will cement the information that I'm giving you into a story, and we remember stories much longer than we remember facts. So when we're going through this cone of experience, I would say, like, let's look at this as to how you would learn, let's say, a math problem, okay, or something that is very step by step. So I'm going to go through the whole list and then I'll break it down. So people remember 10% of what they read, 20% of what they hear, 30% of what they see, 50% of what they see and hear, so that'd be a video, 70% of what they say and write, and 90% of what they do. So I've been a teacher for a long time. I'm all about experiential learning. Anytime we can actually be doing something, that is always my highest preference for teaching. It's the hardest, but it is my highest preference for teaching. So let me run through how you, we're just going to be talking about home organization here. How do you normally get information on organizing your home? And I'll run through each of these again about how you might find that. So 10% of what you read, you Google home organization, you find some blogs, you read what they have on their blogs, their written online journals, that would, you'll remember 10% of what you Google and read about. Then 20% of what you hear. So if you listen to podcasts, that would be an example of just what you hear with no video component whatsoever. 30% of what you see. So if you see a great Pinterest pin, you download an awesome printable, you see a great before and after, you'll remember 30% of what you see in just pure picture form. 50% of what you see and hear. This would be a YouTube video, a video podcast, and an Instagram story would count as something you see and hear. 70% of what you say and write. So almost always when you get to saying and writing something, you're in a lecture. So like when I listen to podcasts, I take notes. I don't always say what I'm writing down, but I do often take notes, at least especially about books I might want to read or other podcasts I might want to reference or just neat stats that are given out in podcasts. I will often write those down. So when you say and write things down, you'll remember 70% of this. This is why I'm always talking about writing down your ideas and to-dos and putting them in the Sunday basket. I've seen this statistic on many, many websites that everything you write down, you're 5 to 7 times more likely to remember something you write down than something you type. It's really, especially if you have kids, have them start writing notes again. You remember a lot more about what you physically write. There's something that happens there. And then the last one is 90% of what you do. 90% of what you do, you are going to remember. I'm not saying word for word remember, but pretty much if you physically do something, you are going to remember it. So I'm going to take a break from home organization and I'm going to talk to you about how I train the Organize 365 team. So it's Very Lisa-ish. So when I hire people onto our team, I often have them observe, listen to some podcasts, you know, help Janet with shipping, go through part of the 100-day program, make their Sunday basket. I have them experience Organize 365 first. And then when they need to do something inside of the company, like let's say they need to learn how to do the blog post, then this is how I teach it. Either in person or over Zoom, and I share my screen, I literally put a blog post up by myself and I talk through how I'm doing it. So we're at the level of probably 70%, because they are seeing it, they are hearing it, and they are taking notes in their notebook about how they would do this. Even though I have a checklist, I have them write down how they do it. So they're watching me do scheduling a blog post. They take their notes, they ask any questions that they want to, and then I say, okay, now I'm going to do one more and you tell me what to do next and I do it. So they tell me the list and then I go through and do it. And if there's anything missing, I let them know and they add that to their list. So then we do the blog post for the third time. I say, okay, this time you do it and I will remind you if there's anything you need to do next. So they have their list next to them and they go through and it's like 18 different steps to do a blog post. It's not, you know, just three things. So they go through, they double check everything on their list, make sure they have it right. They have it right. Then they are trained, but I don't stop there. Then they go and do another blog post like in a different room or on their computer. And then they come back and I double check it to make sure everything is done. That is how I teach something. I show it myself. I have them walk me through it. I walk them through it. They do it on their own and I check it. I know that takes a lot longer than just giving them a checklist and having them do it on their own or watch a video, but I also know that when I teach this way, the teaching lasts, and it's very rare that I have to go back and do any reteaching. I have taught my children this way, I have taught in school this way, and this is how I've designed the 100-day home organization program and all of the Organize 365 products. So you may think that, I'm just going to take the Sunday basket for example. Our basic Sunday basket, complete Sunday basket system, which includes the box, the 1.0, the 2.0 slash pockets, the online training, the printables, the Organize 365 free Facebook group, all of those things together were created so that it's literally almost impossible for you to fail. I feel like a teacher can only fail to teach. A learner cannot fail to learn. I've had this philosophy since I very first started school. When I started teaching, after I graduated from college, I taught the at-risk children who got an extra half day of kindergarten because their kindergarten entrance scores were low. Like they didn't know their ABCs, they didn't know how to count to 10, things like that. It was my job to teach them an extra half day of kindergarten to catch them up so that when they got to first grade, they were at the level of their peers and they potentially would not need an IEP in the future. So that's how I started teaching even before I had children. Then my third year of teaching, third or fourth, I got a first grade classroom. And so I moved out of kindergarten. I graduated to first grade. And the reason I got the job and part of the stipulation of me getting the job was that I would loop with all of my kindergarten classmates. So typically what you do is if you have children that are struggling, you divide them into all of the typical classrooms so that they have role models of how it is done correctly, or you can buddy them up so that they have someone that can help them if they're struggling. And that's not what this district decided to do when they gave me a first grade job. They gave me a first grade job and they did give me what are considered typical kids, like 7 or 8 typical kids. But the majority of my classroom, which was 15 children, I think, were all these children who had identified being at risk and behind the rest of their peers. And I had done a good job with them in kindergarten. And we thought two things. Number one, not changing their teacher for first grade, because I already knew them, they already knew my learning style, would speed up their learning in first grade because they wouldn't have to learn my classroom management. Two, their friends would all be there because they'd already been in the same exact class. And three, I had already made this much progress with them. I could probably make more progress if I kept them together than if we separated them out, all of which bared to be true. So at this school, there were a lot of parents who did not have a lot of resources and probably did not have a lot of good modeling growing up. So it wasn't like you could say, I'm going to send this homework done, have it done tomorrow. Like the parents were not able to help with homework for a variety of reasons. Didn't really matter. They just weren't. However, I did need the parents on board to help me with classroom management. Like if there was a problem with attendance or if there was a problem with behavior, then I needed the parents to step up and really support me so that the child would realize that they couldn't play us off of each other and so that they could learn. And I remember standing there at meet the teacher night, and it was the first week of school, and I was like 24 years old or something. And I said, your child will not fail first grade. And at that time, we did fail children in first grade. I said, they will not fail first grade. I said, if your child fails, that means I have failed to teach them, because children do not fail to learn, teachers fail to teach. And I said, as long as you will support me and work with me, your child will go to second grade next year. And that was a big statement, because at that point, we were definitely failing some children in first grade, and I just wasn't going to have it. I was not going to have any of my children fail, and I didn't. So that philosophy all the way back, even as a teenager, when I babysat people's children and there would be a behavior issue, I would say to the mom, oh, I was so forward thinking. I would say, no, we're not going to do this anymore. They do it for me, they could do it for you. And I like got rid of pacifiers, I got rid of bad behaviors. And the parents were like, really? I was like, yeah, well, they can have that for you, but they're not having it for me, because look, they're just fine. And the parents were like, worn down, you know? I hadn't been a parent yet. I didn't realize how exhausting it was. And they were just happy. They were like, great, what else? Here, Lisa, get rid of this thing too and organize our bedroom while you're at it. So when I came in to organize 365 in 2012, and I realized organization was a learnable skill, that meant that the only way you could not get organized is if I failed to teach you. So let that sink in. There's no way you can't get organized. I just haven't figured out how to teach you correctly. And that's truly how I've built my entire company. If you notice, we come out with extra bonuses and extra gifts for people that are in the 100-day and all access all the time, because I am continually learning better ways to teach you, motivate you, inspire you, and help you reach your goal of getting organized. And why would I create another product or charge more for that? It's all meeting the original goal of getting organized. That's why when the 100-day program started, there was no planner. And after we had a planner, there was no planning day. Now there is planning day. And in All Access, we created the Sunday Basket Club. So you literally can have a teacher that walks alongside you inside of the program. And then we gave you editable binders inside of the All Access program, because that's an additional thing you needed. And now, at the time of this recording, it will probably be live. We're adding every single printable we've ever had. We've updated them all, and we've added them into All Access. Because why shouldn't you get them? They're free printables that I've given out over the last 7 years. We updated them all. We put them all into the portal. And now you can just get them inside of your dashboard. Why should you have to go hunt for the landing page and download it and get added to some other funnel? Like, that doesn't help you get organized. So that is my, I'm a business owner, but there are really three things you can do in Organize 365. You can start with the Sunday Basket, you can add on the 100-day program, and eventually you go All Access. Those are like the three courses that I'm offering. And inside of each of those, I continue to make improvements and enhancements and additions in order to help you achieve the goal of getting organized. Because I'm a teacher and you're a learner, and the only thing I can fail to do is teach. You cannot fail to learn. So if you look at Edgar Dale's cone of experience, here's how I have incorporated all of those things into the Sunday Basket, the basic complete Sunday Basket. Not just the physical box, but when you buy the $97 complete Sunday Basket, you get the physical box, the 1.0/pockets, the 2.0/pockets, and we unlock this little slosh pocket on your dashboard that has all kinds of goodness in there. If you've never gone in there, there's so much on this page that we unlock. First of all, we unlock stuff that you can read. The 10% will learn by reading. There are printables to download that you can read, and there are words on that page to read. Then 20% of what you hear. Well, you're hearing it on the podcast. We don't have any specific... Oh, that's not true. We have the whole Sunday Basket podcast. So if you haven't even gotten the complete Sunday Basket yet, go over to the Sunday Basket podcast, or you can go to sundaybasket.com and you'll find it right there. And I think we have like 8 episodes, and it literally auditorily walks you through creating your Sunday Basket for free. You can go check that out. 30% of what you see. There are numerous printables inside of the Sunday basket. There's one that tells you what your 1.0 slash buckets are for. There's two different ones that tell you how to figure out what your 2.0s are. There's a whole bunch of other printables that we have put in there that can help you as you are creating your Sunday basket and give you a visual representation. 50% of what they see and hear, so videos. We have two videos at the top of the complete Sunday basket page. One walks you through how to create the 1.0 slash pockets, and the other one walks you through how to create the 2.0 slash pockets. And then 70% of what they say and write, so obviously the whole entire Sunday basket is about writing things down. You're all writing things down, right? And 90% of what you do. The Sunday basket is not something you buy and put on your shelf. You physically do it every single week. So we have incorporated every single piece of Edgar Dale's Cone of Experience into the Sunday basket. That is why it works. Totally works. Like, people be like, I heard about it for 18 months. I tried to make it on my own. And then I finally bought it. And I was like, oh my gosh, this thing totally. Yeah, it can't not work because I've incorporated every single thing I know as a teacher. And I've poured it into this product so that it can't not work. Let me know if it's not working. Email me if it's not working. But if you go through the videos and you print out the printables, and you may have a backlog, it may take you a while to get it working. I always say it takes about 6 weeks in order to get the hang of it. It's going to take time. It's not magic. It's not like you open it up and your paper's organized. But the system does work if you give it the time and you go through the videos and you go through the program. Now, in addition to that, I know that some people, no matter, I ship it to your front door, we unlock the dashboard, but still you're like, I have a hard time getting started. I don't know what to do with the next piece of paper. I get stuck here. That's why I created the certification program. The certification program was not created for the certified organizers. Sorry, guys. It was created for you. It was created for you because I know as an educator that no matter how good my lesson was or my lesson plans or the materials that I used to teach that lesson, there were always going to be people in my classroom that needed small group instruction and one-on-one instruction every single time without fail. No matter how many ways I presented something or how animated I was when I presented something, there would always, every single time, be people who needed small group instruction, step-by-step small group instruction, or one-on-one instruction. If that's you, you know it's you. You've always been that way. My daughter does best with one-on-one instruction. Small group does not even work for her. That's why we're homeschooling her, because her best learning is always one-on-one. And I know that. I wouldn't put her in a college classroom and expect that she is going to learn much of what they're teaching. It's just not the way she's designed. So if that's you, then I would say, regardless of the Sunday basket, in anything you're learning, if you've always learned better in small group or one-on-one instruction, then seek out a small class, workshop, or seek out a one-on-one instructor. If you've been working on getting your home organized and you're struggling, you're making some progress, but just not the progress you want to be making, if it's paper related, I highly recommend going to a Sunday basket workshop, a physical workshop. They're all over the United States now. Find one, go to one. Some of those people are also offering live online classes where you can watch them online and interact with people online. If you're in All Access, you know we have the Sunday Basket Club, so you can do that inside of the Sunday Basket Club with Monique or with Michelle. But if you've only purchased the complete Sunday basket, you don't have access to that yet. So find a certified organizer and go to one of their local workshops. These workshops don't have 65 people at them. They typically have like 1 to 6 people there. It's not overwhelming. It's very intimate, personal, great place to get started. And if you can, and you have the resources and you have the time, and you know you work better one-on-one, hire a professional organizer. Hire a professional organizer. Get their smallest package that they have. Sign up for 1 day or 1 service. See how far you can get. Have them give you homework at the end or checklist that you complete before they come back the next time. Maximize your investment. But I promise you, if you have always been the kind of learner that learns best one-on-one, investing in a professional organizer, even if you do it once a quarter, will move you so much further faster than just trying to cobble it all together online through reading and listening, if that's not the way that you learn best. Okay. Well, that's all I have to say about Edgar Dale's cone of experience. I hope you've been able to see both for yourself, and maybe if you have children, you'd be like, oh, that's why that never worked, because they're an auditory learner or they are a kinesthetic learner, which is doing it with them. Almost everyone works better doing it with them. Some people are more visual. Some people are more auditory. Everyone works better writing it down, unless they have dysgraphia, and everyone works better if they actually physically get to try and do something with someone. They're going to learn faster and they're going to retain it longer. Hopefully that helps you with anybody in your family that you're trying to teach things. Hopefully that helps you with how you learn, both in your work and play and home. Like, how do you best like to learn? I love to learn at a conference. Like, I love going to a conference and learning all of those kinds of things. I know for a lot of people, conferences are very overwhelming and the last place they would want to learn. So find out how you learn best. And then whatever you're struggling with, whatever you want to learn, find that mode and that medium and dive in. Have a great week.